dixi yukhe chudin dila dang zhu gula ni lo xie xia dang dan nang la mong ba xia dang yi chi xia dang dini gulu shik ma dawa chi li gore dien za da dini ki ta ji re le gil o di re xia di re xia sami su zui ngue xin ba qi dini su su ha gu wa qi dini ha gu wa du da lo xie te zum lo ki yo du dini di ka ri min xim chuk qi jie ba qi dini jie ba qi yo du ba da dini sang ye yo re yo ma re xia li gu du yo re yo ma dini jie ba qi ni dini diriye sembeki tsema kiyaya di jeba saya kiyongore dine dine ki da jeba di dine gyuyun dine ya gomne ya ya dine dine ngonsum yungo saya chaygore dine da dine ki yungo ya ki lingzu ya dine bezo chaya ki dine che hudu saya di dine kala shu saa che.
So just in summary of what we've been looking at previously in terms of the progression of the mind. So we first, when we hear something for the first time, we will possibly have a doubt about it. And it's only through then thinking about reality in terms of the situation that we'll be able to overcome that doubt. So in other words, thinking about the various reasons that we've heard, we'll be able to progress from a doubt tending towards the factual towards a correct assumption. And then amongst the correct assumptions, we saw that the best one was the correct assumption based on a correct reason that hasn't yet been determined. So then once we have now a correct understanding and we understand the reasons, but we haven't yet realized the object or the subject of meditation, then we continue to reflect on it again and again and again until that the reasons that we have become a correct reason. And then in dependence on a correct reason, which is its sign, then an inferential valid cognition will arise. In other words, we will realize the object. In other words, we'll have a realization of our meditative object. And then as that then is strengthened, then either we'll immediately go to a direct valid cognition, or we'll probably have a subsequent cognizer arise in the next moment, and we continue to strengthen that. And as we strengthen it, we'll eventually attain a direct valid cognition. So this is the process that we will go through for all our Dharma realizations, from death and impermanence, emptiness, bodhicitta, definite emergence, all of them. We have this sequence or this process.
Okay.
And now I'm ready here, so I just want to re-say something that was said this morning, because really what I said wasn't so clear. And so I re-listened to the audio and checked with Genda and just made an abbreviation in the presentation on inattentive awareness. So we had this talk about the clairvoyance of an ordinary being and whether that is a mental direct valid cognizer apprehending the object or not. So just before I repeat that, let's first look at when we were speaking last time, when he spoke last time about direct valid cognizers, so there were four divisions. So one of them was the mental direct valid cognizer. So here there's also an inattentive awareness, as well as the inattentive awareness that Genda mentioned earlier, which was to do with clairvoyance. So to look at the first one, the direct valid cognizer in the continuum of an ordinary being to which subtle impermanence appears. So this very quick, this moment, so when one sees, for example, one sees a form or hears a sound, or sees a form we're using here. So we see a form, then there's this direct mental valid cognizer that realizes that form, but this only lasts for a moment. And so then this is said to be an inattentive awareness, this direct mental valid cognizer, as is the self-knower of that direct mental valid cognizer. That too is an inattentive awareness. Because if the mental direct valid cognizer is inattentive, then its self-knower is also going to be inattentive. So that was one. Then the second, so the clairvoyance of an ordinary being that realizes form is a mental direct valid cognizer apprehending form. Now this is not an inattentive awareness, and its second moment is then a subsequent cognizer. So I'll say this again, because this is new. So the clairvoyance of an ordinary being that realizes form is a mental direct valid cognizer apprehending form. And it is not an inattentive awareness. So this is an example of a mental direct valid cognizer in the continuum of an ordering being that is not inattentive. And then it's because it is a mental direct valid cognizer, its second moment is a subsequent cognizer. Whereas, of course, what we had with the first one, so for example, the direct valid cognizer in the continuum of an ordering being to its subtle appearance appears. So this is an inattentive awareness. Itself, knower is inattentive, and therefore there's not going to be a subsequent cognizer. So I hope that's a little clearer, because what I said this morning, I didn't really understand. But hopefully this is a little clearer now.
Mm-hmm. This one again.
So when we started, I think right at the beginning of Satantika, we spoke that there are about three types of object possessors. And so we had awareness, persons, and expressive sound. So now we've been looking at awareness in some detail. Of course, we saw awareness divided into valid and non-valid. So we've looked at awareness in some detail, and now we come to, in the middle of page 14, so beings, so or persons. So what we have here is a person is an object possessor because a person can realize objects. And expressive sound, for example, the speech of the Buddha, this too is an object possessor.
Tene nga ta bene nga se di an de ju ji ge ta se nga se di ge yu jin re se di ka zo ko rong ge ju he ge xi ji yu ba de yu jin re ko rong ge da ko rong ge ju je ge to bi ji xi ma de ko rong ge de ju je yu ba de yu jin re se ne ko rong ge ju he ge xi ji yu bi che ne ko yu jin re se de go re na ka she ge de la ko rong nga ko rong ge yu de to go ma ro wa
그 So this what we have here is the second division, that of speech. So here it's, some people will say speech is an object possessor. Others will say speech is not an object possessor. So you may well hear two different points of view here. And so why do some say that speech is not an object possessor? And that's because speech doesn't realize an object. So, for example, we heard a moment ago that a person is an object possessor because it realizes an object. So then if we said, but speech, does it realize an object? No, it doesn't. So therefore, some people will say speech, or what can be called expressive sound, then this is not an object possessor. However, there are others that do say that speech is an object possessor because it possesses an object. It may not realize that object, but it possesses an object. So therefore, some people will say that speech or expressive sound is an object possessor, and others will say it's not. So then we come to the second division of three. There are three types of valid object possessors. So this term valid, we looked at in some detail in terms of awareness. So we had the definition of a valid cognizer being a new incontrovertible knower. So what that means is it's a mind that is in accordance with reality. So now we come to valid beings, valid speech, and valid consciousnesses. So being valid, they are in accordance with reality. So the illustration of a valid being is the Buddha, and this is because whatever the Buddha sees, the Buddha realizes in an unmistaken manner, and therefore a Buddha is a valid being. So, for example, the Buddha will know will have realized the Four Noble Truths, and of course realized the Two Truths, and will have realized the meaning of these truths in a way that is unmistaken. So therefore, the Buddha is a valid person or a valid being. Ordinary beings such as ourselves, we will think about the two truths, we'll think about the four truths and the like, and some of us will have good understanding, some of us not such good understandings of these. But we are not like the Buddha. We haven't realized them in an unmistaken way, so therefore we are not valid beings.
Mm-hmm. 차상 도바나시 덴바시 지다와 도바나시 되나 유여바레 인자 디니기 덴바시 도바라 마추 네반자 디수에네 기부 세마세네 오고 디케 타니 리고레 가시
However, amongst non-Buddhas, there are beings who have realized the Four Noble Truths and the Two Truths in an unmistaken way, and they are Arya beings, of course, so those from the path of seeing and above. So they too can be called valid beings. So another way to put it, all Arya beings, so whether they're Arya Buddhas or they are those from on the path of seeing or meditation, they are valid beings because what they've realized, in this case the Four Noble Truths and the Two Truths, they've realized these in an unmistaken way. So if someone asks, well then, is Buddha a valid cognizer? Then the answer would be no, the Buddha is not a valid cognizer because a valid cognizer is an awareness. So a valid cognizer is a new incontrovertible knower. So the Buddha is a being, he's not a valid cognizer. But he is a valid person. So then the second one, valid speech. So here an illustration would be the Buddha Dharma itself. So for example, the teachings are by the Buddha on the Four Noble Truths. Because these teachings are unmistaken, and when they're given by the Buddha, these teachings by the Buddha are not only unmistaken, but they are in accordance with the disposition of beings. They're in accordance with the disposition of beings in an unmistaken way.
Umabalaya and Chigi Dames, Sungorwa, Sungore, and Umabalaya Chigi Dames, Sungi, Sanji Sungi, and Nazema Reves. Nazema Marwa, Sanji Chigi Dames, Suma, Najun, Dunda, Chigi Dames, Yomarwas, and that is Nazema Marwas, Lana, when did Nazema Reves, Dunda, Chigi Dame, the Meva in a Korong Sanji Meva, the Kingores.
So here, of course, we may have some doubt because we are studying tenets and we're seeing that there are differences between the various philosophical views of and all these philosophical views were taught by the Buddha. So we may think, well, then how can the Buddha's unmistaken speech be valid speech? So here we need to take into account that when, for example, the Buddha taught to the, for example, the middle way schools, that when he taught the selflessness of phenomena to the middle way schools, this was not taught to the Sautrantikas. So the Sautrantikas do not accept selflessness of phenomena, whereas, of course, the Mahayana schools do. So here this apparent contradiction is actually not a contradiction because the Buddha taught in accordance with the disposition of beings, seeing through his unmistaken mind that to not teach the selflessness of phenomena to certain beings, but to teach it to those who are ready for it, that would be the way to ensure that those who are not ready to receive these teachings are able to continue in terms of developing mental paths and the like, and not turn away from the Buddha Dharma. So therefore, the Buddha's speech is still considered to be valid speech. So, all the speech of the Buddha is a valid speech. And this is because when you take into account the predispositions of beings, then what he spoke was unmistaken for those beings. So, what's interesting here is that the subject of valid speech doesn't actually need to be an existent. But because it's come from the Buddha, and it's in accordance with the dispositions of beings, even though in some circumstances one thing was said and something in a different circumstance or to a different audience, something different was said, the speech remains valid because it has come from the Buddha and it's in accordance with the predispositions of beings. So again, if we ask, is the Buddha's speech a valid cognizer, then the answer again is no, because the definition of a valid cognizer is a new incontrovertible knower. And the Buddha's speech is not a knower, it's speech, so therefore it is valid speech as opposed to a valid cognizer. So when reading texts, you may well come across these terms, valid beings, valid speech, and the like. And you reading these terms, you may think, oh, so if this is a valid being, is this the same as a valid cognizer? Because it's got this word valid in there. Now we can understand the difference between a valid being and a valid cognizer. And the third one, this valid consciousness, this is what we've been looking at already. So these are the valid consciousnesses, are the valid cognizers. So now we come to the way of asserting selflessness, the sixth outline. So here we see that it's the same as with the Vaibhashika. They assert a core selflessness of persons and a subtle selflessness of persons, with the core selflessness of persons being the person being empty or being permanent, unitary, and independent, and the subtle selflessness of persons being the person being empty of a self-sufficient substantial existence. So this was the same as what we studied previously.
Then Dene yudan jen laya ma dhe ba. Dene ane kiji kiji jikwa ma yin gen, dene gansa jik yor bhe se ne, di gansa di yor ma rhe se gorda. Dene gansa di meho ma rhe, di ma dhu ba dhe la, gansa dame ra ba se gore.
So just to look at the meaning of the person, that would be single, unitary, and independent. So permanent, unitary, and independent, sorry. So what kind of person would be permanent, unitary, and independent? So if a person were was not subject to momentary change, such a person would be permanent. If a person was not dependent on parts, it would be unitary. And if a person was not dependent on causes and conditions, that person would be independent. So there are these three terms. So, of course, a person doesn't exist in that way. So when the yogi comes to realize that a person is impermanent because the person is subject to momentary change, and a person is not unitary because it's, a person is dependent on parts, and a person is not independent because a person is dependent on causes and conditions, then the yogi will realize the coarse selflessness of persons. So when we hear this explanation of someone conceiving the self to be permanent, and then the way to counter that is to see that the self actually changes momentarily. We may think, the person changes momentarily. We may think, well, that's kind of obvious, because I was young, I'm now older, and I'll probably get a bit older than I am now. So, of course, there's change, and that change happens immediate, and it's momentary. So if we think about it, it's kind of obvious. But when we don't think about it, then how do we perceive ourselves? Because we also talk about the person or ourselves who did something yesterday, and in the future I have these hopes and I will be doing these things. And the way that we naturally or innately think about ourselves and relate to ourselves is actually more in the way of permanence rather than in the way of being impermanent and subject to momentary change. You can indeed tell Tamatama the
Chibu Yeting, Chagala, Chashitis Lamadiovache, Koran Chibu Yeting, Chulia, Child, Denis Chagore.
So then, in terms of unitary, so again, it's quite similar. If we think about it, it sounds kind of obvious. So we unitary meaning not dependent on parts. So we know the person is dependent on parts, arms, hands, legs, etc. So if we think about it, yes, it seems kind of obvious. But again, if we don't investigate, then we tend to think of ourselves as not being dependent on parts. It's not an understanding that innately arises in us.
Rawa said, the Rawa dia ngan tu samnala yore da kasa Rawa kasa
And similarly with independent. So here we don't tend to think of ourselves as being dependent on causes and conditions, that this isn't a thought that naturally comes to us. We rather think of ourselves as independent. However, of course, if we investigate, we can come to see quite clearly that we are dependent on causes and conditions.
That passed to some Dajira.
So the person, when we don't investigate, the person appears to us to be permanent, to be unitary, and to be independent. But when we investigate, we can come to see that it's not really like this. So if we take the third term, independent, so the person, if we investigate, is clearly dependent on causes and conditions. Without causes and conditions coming together, the person will not be produced or will not be born. So we can understand intellectually quite easily that the person is not permanent, is not unitary, and is not independent. But this kind of understanding needs to be cultivated, and it needs to be cultivated repeatedly. So to look at the self, whether the self exists in this unitary manner. So here we need to look at the self, whether it exists in independence and parts. So here we look at the aggregates. So we need to investigate whether the self exists in dependence on the aggregates or not. And we need to look at whether the self exists independent on one of the aggregates, or two of them, or five of them, or in whatever way does the self or the person exist independent on the aggregates or free of the aggregates. So we can look at the form aggregates, then we can look at the discrimination aggregates and the like, to see whether the person exists independence on independence on the aggregates or not, so independence on the parts or not, and this is again something we need to repeatedly investigate. So likewise with the first feature, that of being permanent. So here we need to investigate whether the person exists as permanent or impermanent. If impermanent, the person will be subject to momentary change. So this is something we can see even more easily than the others. And in terms of how we were when we were younger and how we are now is clearly different. And how we, and if we investigate further, we can see how we were this morning and how we are now. This too has changed. But this kind of investigation, on the one hand, it needs to be done. Two, or secondly, it needs to be done repeatedly so that the understanding starts to arise more spontaneously in the mind. So through this repeated cultivation of the person not being permanent because the person changes momentarily, the person not being unitary because the person is dependent on its parts, on its aggregates, and the person not being and not being independent because the person is dependent on causes and conditions. So cultivating these three understandings repeatedly so that they arise in the mind in a powerful and stable manner, then one can have this realization of core selflessness of persons. So the first step in this meditation is to try and observe how the self appears to us. And when we have some an appearance of how the self, when the self appears to us in a manner, then we need to investigate the manner in which it appears. So when we're investigating, we will investigate looking at whether the self exists in a permanent manner, if it's appearing to us to be permanent. And if it's the self appears to us to be partless, or unitary, in other words, not dependent on parts, then this needs to be investigated. And likewise, if it appears to us to be independent, then we need to invest whether it is dependent on causes and conditions or not. So the first step is to see how the self appears to us, because it does tend to appear to us. We have this identification with the self, with the person of before and now, and we think about the future, etc. So we need to think about what is this person, what is it that appears to me, and then when we have this appearance, to investigate it with. So if it's appearing to be permanent, then it means it's not momentarily changing, and we need to investigate if that is the case. And likewise, if we have this feeling of the person is not dependent on the parts, on its parts or on the aggregates, we need to investigate if that is really the case or not. And then thirdly, of course, again, if the person appears unitary, or in other words, not dependent on causes and conditions, well, if we investigate, we can see that it is dependent on causes and conditions. So this needs to be done repeatedly so that the understanding that the self or the person doesn't exist in this way that it appears, in this way of being permanent, unitary, and independent, so that this understanding starts to arise in the mind in a powerful and stable manner. Because what we are doing here is we're taking these various reasonings, so these reasonings we've applied now to permanence, unity, and independence, and we're cultivating them again and again. We're making them stronger and more stable in our mind. So what we are doing is we are taking these reasons and making them more powerful, more stable, to the point when we have correct reasons, that on the basis of a correct reason, we have a realization of the selflessness of persons. So this is then an inferential valid cognizer. So again, now we're relating this meditation on selflessness to what we've been covering up to this point in terms of the division of awareness. So we take the reasoning, the mind using reasons to analyze and develop through the various different kinds of minds until we attain a realization, and that realization will be an inferential valid cognition. So this mind that realizes the coarse selflessness of persons will be an inferential valid cognizer.
だって別なの写写ばでねでま、で別なのとしてでサブラルマソナ、サブラ。サブラ。サメ。サブラ。サブチャ。サブチャ。うん。サブチャ。その、メプセチョロ。メプレグマレ。あれ、サブチャ。お、せだにのしに、ディシゴルマド、ならんげてたしょらわちとはダメとべろこんち、とはじにゃんにょそのシゴルマげはこよまれとよまれ。しんごまれ。にゃでてねてねてね、よんぐれ。
So what I'm saying here comes directly out of texts. I'm not explaining from my own experience. I happen to realization of selflessness. So what I'm saying here is just something out of the texts, but the text presented in a very clear way. So something can be likened to a map in terms of how to progress to the realization of selflessness. So I don't have this realization. I'm just repeating what's in the books.
In Kanere samrajit dham dham jiwa samrajit tangyue de ne hao xing mi do nza nge de ta che do khora ji ma xie de nga zil zhe ge de se wo ma sen ne jia zhen xia cha ya ge nga yong si ru da da nge ji xing yi do do la ji che wen ne de ko han gu wo ma de xie wen ne ko zun cha ge nga yo ru wa nza di nge se wo xue xing yi hao ko me do wo ma de ina da ji ge
So I do sometimes think about selflessness, but as I said, I've yet to realize it. So possibly in my explanation, yeah, I've made some mistakes, but I do think about it sometimes, but really I have not yet realized selflessness.
ディカズチェシェシェディチェシェラバ、アンズポンポ、ポンポディケルゴウィンサレ、ポンポディケル、ダンガズミジトンヤルスユポンポイエティエン。アンディネギアンデレアナ、ソワダ、アンガズニチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチチ
self, whether the person exists in a unitary manner, in other words, not dependent on the aggregates. So we can first look at the physical aggregate. So does the self exist in terms of the physical aggregate? Then the second one was the feeling aggregate. So here we come to see, so does the self exist in dependence on the feeling aggregate? And then thirdly, the discrimination aggregate, this mind that, so with the feeling we had the three types of feelings, that of pleasant, suffering, and neutral. And then with discrimination, the discrimination aggregate, so this is the mind that discriminates between this and between that. So we need to investigate whether the self, is dependent on these aggregates or not. And so this is a rough way that one can come about to an understanding that the self is not unitary, or the person, sorry, is not unitary. So that was the explanation of the core selflessness as presented by both by Bhashyaka and Satvantika. And then the presentation of subtle selflessness, it's a person being empty or being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So again, the process is similar. So we need to look at how the self or the person appears to us. Does the person and if the person appears to us as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, then we need to investigate whether the person exists in the way that it appears. In other words, in this self-sufficient, substantially existent manner. So that then needs to be investigated, and we'll come to the conclusion that the person doesn't exist in that way. So to explain what this self-sufficient substantial existence means, or to look at the first part, the self-sufficiency. So when we were children, we were very dependent on our parents. They fed us, they gave us clothing, we needed to ask their permission before leaving the home, etc. So clearly we weren't self-sufficient. Then when we became older and we maybe graduated from school and were working and the like, then we were responsible for our own food and clothing and this kind of thing, and we didn't need to ask permission to go to places. So then we became self-sufficient.
So, to
take myself as an illustration, I now find myself in Australia, but I'm not self-sufficient in Australia. I don't speak English very well. So wherever I go, I need someone to help me. Whereas you guys, you all speak English, you know Australia well. So in Australia, you're self-sufficient. Me? No, I'm not yet.
So
So this another way to explain the self-sufficient is to see whether something is dependent on others or not. So here we need not take the meditation and we look at how the self appears to us, and it tends to appear to us in a way that it is independent. It is not dependent on causes and conditions and parts and the like. So this is how it appears to us. It appears to us to be self-sufficient. However, if we investigate, we'll come to see that it's not self-sufficient. It is rather dependent. So the person does appear to us, and in the conceptual consciousness that apprehends the person, this is not a wrong consciousness. So the conceptual consciousness that apprehends a person is not a wrong consciousness. Why? Because it apprehends a person. How does that person appear? Then that the person appears to be self-sufficient, substantially existent. But the person appearing to be self-sufficient, substantially existent is not apprehended by the mind. It just appears in that way. So this mind that apprehends the person only apprehends the person, although it has an appearance of the self being, of the person being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So therefore, the conceptual consciousness that apprehends the person is not a wrong consciousness. Okay, so Now, just to repeat what was said before, so the conceptual consciousness that apprehends the person is not a wrong consciousness, because it's just apprehending the person, despite having an appearance of the person being self-sufficiently substantially existent, or permanent unitary and independent. Now, so this is not a wrong consciousness. And then coming with this mind is another mind. And this mind then grasps at that that appearance, so the self appearing to be permanent, unitary, and independent. So the second mind now grasps at this appearance of being permanent, unitary, and independent. So that mind is the coarse self-grasping mind. And this mind is the object of abandonment. So we're talking about two minds. The one is not a wrong mind, it's a conceptual consciousness apprehending the person. And then the person appears to be permanent, unitary, and independent. And then a second mind that grasps at that, then that mind that is grasping at the self as being permanent, unitary, and independent, that mind is the coarse self-grasping, and that mind is an object of abandonment.
That didn't it?
Similarly, so when we have the conceptual consciousness apprehending the person, which is not a wrong consciousness, to this, there is the appearance of the self, of the person being self-sufficient, substantially existent. Then a second consciousness that apprehends this appearance of self, of the self, of the person being self-sufficient, substantially existent, then that mind is the subtle self-grasping, and that subtle mind or subtle self-grasping is an object of abandonment. Dingana, the Dachsin Rapadan Chamo Deni, Kunso Lokshe Rebe.
Lokshe Rebe.
Okay, and these two self grasping minds, the coarse and the subtle, they are wrong consciousnesses. Kunso Mepare. Kunso Yu Mepare.
Mevashin do Yovatin by the word Lokshe Chadiva. Da, di Dazin Nibu di Damazoge, Nyom Dazin. That he may have a pong and Ganis Pongoris in a Tashi Ramaching Duba Nashi, Yores, and Medi Ramajabadi, Rabadi, Tashi Ramaching Duba Yores, and Medi Zimbadi, Zimbana, Zimbadi, Mava Suela, and Quit Zimba Nashinda, Tashi Ramaching Duba Doom, Mindu Shimju Chine, Tashi Ramaching Duba Mindu, Simbito, Macheva, Samaki, and call a Kate, Tapa the Chago. Just the Nigel Lodi Giado, call a Nuba Chuntangore.
So these two types of self-grasping, the coarse and subtle, they are wrong consciousnesses. Why? Because they grasp at an object that is a non-existent as if it were an existent. So that's what makes them wrong consciousnesses. So again, the coarse and subtle self-grasping minds, they are wrong consciousnesses because they grasp at a non-existent, the person appearing to be self-sufficiently substantially existent or permanent, independent, and unitary, grasp permanent unity and independence, grasping at those minds which are non-existent, grasping at those objects which are non-existent as if they were existent. So that's why these self-grasping minds are wrong consciousnesses. So it's these self-grasping minds that need to be abandoned. So what they are grasping at is the person that appears to be either self-sufficient, substantially existent, or independent, unitary, permanent, unitary, and independent. So to abandon the self-grasping minds that are grasping at these objects, one needs to cultivate those reasoning minds as to why the self isn't permanent, or why the person isn't permanent, why the person isn't unity, why the person isn't independent. And when those minds arise in a powerful and stable manner, and they become a correct reason from which an inferential valid cognizer arises, So a new incontrovertible knower that is arises dependence on a basis, its correct sign, which is an inferential valid cognizer, this mind, when that arises, it now will harm and weaken this self-grasping. So in other words, when we give rise to the inferential valid cognizer, it will harm the its opposite mind, which is the self-grasping, and weaken that self-grasping.
Now,
他就被多把结巴车马借用的，他可能我说你搞的，等你结巴车马的样子，我说过么过么，你把车车，可是你把车罗的，等你给他先，你把穷穷如果的，其实等你刚才么进来，呢，过刚才打进可能没把车呢，那你过得养些些个三分钟他就过来，其实等你个样，等你个他没多不给罗的，过么过么过么，我说多，等你要你把车车，刚才么进来，可三分钟要给你借没把车的，等你帮帮过了哇。
So, and likewise, when, with this appearance of the person existing as a self-sufficient, substantial existence, this appears to us, and then this mind that grasps at it as existing, then this is the subtle self-grasping, and this is an object of abandonment, yeah? So this was said earlier. So now, again, in the same way, we need to meditate on, so how does this, the self, the person that appears to us as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. If it were in that way, it wouldn't be dependent on parts, it wouldn't be dependent on causes and conditions and the like. And so we now start applying these opposite minds, or these antidotal minds, and as they grow and strengthen, we will eventually give rise to the inferential valid cognizer. And that inferential valid cognizer is the contrary mind to the subtle self-grasping. So it's exactly the same process as the step before for the gross self-grasping. So now, as when, once we've given rise to this inferential valid cognition, then the self-grasping will weaken. It's not eliminated, but it will weaken. If we continue to have the seeds and these ripen, and we continue to grasp at a self as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, but it's now being weakened. And so as we develop the antidote, so this wisdom realizing selflessness, the antidote strengthens, the object of abandonment, the self-grasping, weakens. And eventually, we'll come to have a direct realization of selflessness, and that then will cut this self-grasping. Denikana, nato, kari, gansai takme, ngonsun du toktu, deni darung sabun yarebe. Deni kali kali deni sabun de, then once we've realized, have a direct realization of the selflessness of persons, we still, of course, have the seeds, but now they're getting quite weak. And as we continue to apply this now very powerful antidote towards the much weaker self-grasping mind, we start to eliminate those seeds and continue to both eliminate and weaken them.
Then
Okay, so as we've heard now, there are these two types of self-grasping, the coarse and the subtle. So the subtle self-grasping, that the mind that grasps at the self as the self as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, that mind of subtle self-grasping is the root of our afflictions. In other words, from this mind arise all our afflictions. So from the sense of self, the self-existing as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, all our afflictive minds, all our problems come. So because of the sense of self, the minds, for example, like pride come. And for example, if someone talks to us in a way we don't like or acts to us in a way that we don't like, the pride arises. And from the pride arises, we respond and we maybe say something a bit harsh to that person. And in this way, through the response, we generate negative karma. Likewise, through the sense of self, and this self-grasping, through the self-grasping, attachment arises. I want this, I want that. And through this mind of attachment, we engage in negative deeds. And it's through engaging in these negative deeds, of course, that now we're creating negative karma. So from this root of the subtle self-grasping, grasping at the self as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, we have these afflictive minds arising from the sense of self, and under the sway of these afflictions, we engage in actions of body, speech, and mind and the like, and continue to accumulate negative karma. And this perpetuation of afflictions leading to accumulation of contaminated karma, this is what keeps cyclic existence turning and keeps us so trapped within cyclic existence. So if we take, for example, the affliction of pride, so pride comes with a strong sense of I. So in Tibetan, the word for pride is literally I king. So it's very clear that there is a strong sense of I that comes with this mind of pride. So, for example, if we're thinking about our qualities, oh, I know this, I know that, then following this mind of pride, basking in our own qualities, we tend to look down on others. And this looking down on others, then, is this creating of negative mental karma. Likewise, of course, with wealth. If we think, oh, I have these fantastic things, I have all this money, and etc., Even if we're just like ordinary people and have ordinary things, we will still, with this mind of pride, look down on those that we see as having less than us. And then from this, just this mental process of looking down on others, we continue to engage in this accumulation of negativity. So this, if we look at the mind of anger, so the mind of anger and its various classifications, whether it's frustration or annoyance or all of these minds, they come about usually from us things not going the way we want them to. So, for example, someone says something to us or acts in a way that we don't feel is appropriate. So what happens even before the mind of anger arises, the sense of self comes up, which can be likened with this mind of pride. So, oh, he spoke to me in that way, she acted towards me in that way. And then with the sense of pride and we're feeling wronged, then we respond through the, well, first of all, the mind of anger arises and then we respond. So this all comes, so this mind of anger comes from a preceding state of pride, which comes from the sense of I, this I existing in a self-sufficient, substantially existent way. So through this, we generate this mind of pride, we generate these responses of anger in their varying strengths, and we continue to accumulate negativities.
ん、で、じゃあ、だ、だ、ぼんが、さ、じで、でね、が、せで、じね、でね、がら、じゃら、でこ、こ、が、ら、便所、でこ、こ、が、でこ、す、べ、じ、でね、して、じ、ちゃわ、じ。だ、ちゃわ、じ、で、で、だ、れ、べ、じ、じ。でね、ね、そや、こ、せん、じ、だ、じ、そや、ね、そや、そん、こ、や、そん。でね、じ、こ、ま、じゃわ、こ、ま、じゃ、で、ちょ、こ、や、ちょ。でね、じ、ね、こ、れ、が、べ、で、で、さ、よ、こ、れ。
And similarly with the mind of attachment, we have this thought of I want. So before with anger we have this mind of I don't want. Here we have this mind of I want. So what's common with both of them is this I don't want this. They spoke to me in this bad way, but this I. And here I want this. I want these nice things. I want this position at work. It's all about this I. So this mind of attachment also comes from the sense of pride, and this which comes from the sense of self-grasping. So all of these come in the sequence, starting with the self-grasping. And then once this I want comes, and this mind of attachment, we then start to pursue that. So we may just work very hard, but we may also, in this working very hard, communicate in a deceptive manner. We may try and get what we want to at the expense of others, etc. So we end up, at the very least, not engaging in virtue, but almost certainly engaging in non-virtue. Why? Because of this mind of attachment that comes from the sense of I want. And it's through this that we continue to create this negative karma that keeps us bound within psychic existence.
ハマダ、パマ、アマナ、パワニ、パス、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャクワ、チャ 那是接的呢，那电话公司上，电呢，嗯，表面吃过接的，你可你个的接过，现在的，人家这独立的，现在独立办的具体个是，连打牛毛不牛毛不对下的，连的个是对下的，我给你连上过来噻，啊，你这有具体个是，他打进马里打进的是啥子？我都是那地方过地方，他不透过来噻，地上过来的。
So in our Lamarum studies, we know how we would have seen how the physical aggregates are referred to as true sufferings. And as long as we have these physical aggregates that are true sufferings, we will only encounter problem and difficulty after problem and difficulty. Therefore, we need to abandon these aggregates because these aggregates are in their nature suffering. So now with what we're studying here in Tenets, we can come to an understanding of what this means. Because we have seen how from self-grasping, attachment comes. So the result of self-grasping is attachment. And then from having attachment dominance in our mind, what comes from that is non-virtuous behavior. So we have this stream of negativity. So from self-grasping comes the result of attachment. From attachment comes the result of negativity. So we can then, if we relate to, for example, where our physical aggregates came from, they of course came from our parents. So through our parents generating attachment in their minds, they had sexual intercourse and we were conceived. So from that, those minds of desire and attachment, then we attained this physical rebirth. But it came from minds of attachment. It came from minds, and that attachment itself in the minds of our parents at the time came from self-grasping. So therefore, we started out in this way with these minds, with this result of self-grasping, which was attachment, and then that led to action, and that led to our birth. So what we can see here is the cause of true suffering is contaminated karma and afflictions. And this continued accumulation of further contaminated karma and the strengthening of the afflictions, this comes from afflicted minds, such as attachments and the like. And then all these afflictions, they come back to self-grasping. So we have this continuity of self-grasping, then the afflictive minds, then contaminated karma being accumulated. And that leads to us having these contaminated aggregates and therefore having these true sufferings. So this is what we need to abandon.
Gomlam di negaso ane sesum la sova sunam yu sosa dene gansa tamye du lo gomu yu gomu jine dene yu mo jingi tiba ba dene da jume tiba to chukore ya sa chik che ta rangi yi ka soyi ne gomya di gansa rangi tibi zi yu tunga tu bu lo du gom dene sunam yu sosa ya di ta cholam na jolam yi negaso ga wa gya la sova sunam sa dene jolam ni ya ane nyam da sha te chile ya ta rangi ya da jume tiba to chukore ya sa chik.
Okay, so that was the presentation on selflessness. So we come to the last for Sautrantika, the presentation of grounds and paths. So here we remember from before, we had before the actual presentation on grounds and paths, we had the objects of abandonment. So for Sautrantika, it's the same as for Vaibhashika, the afflictive and non-afflictive obscurations. So those are the objects to be abandoned, the afflictive and non-afflictive obscurations. The Sautrantika then also posits the three types of being, the hearer, the solitary realizer, and the bodhisattva. So the hearer and the solitary realizer, they need to accumulate merit. And here there's a difference from before. So here both the hearer and the solitary realizer, they accumulate merit over all four training grounds. So that's a difference from what we had before with the Vaibhashika. In terms of how much merit, or the duration of time that is required for the merit to be accumulated, that is the same as before. And so for the hearer, it's a minimum of 3 lifetimes. For the solitary realizer, it's a minimum of 100 great eons. So that is the same as before. What differs is from the presentation of the Vaibhashika, is that both the hearer and the solitary realizer accumulate the merit across the four training grounds. Moreover, both the hearer and the solitary realizer, they have the same object of abandonment, the afflictive obscurations, and they have the same object of meditation through which they will abandon the afflictive obscurations, and that is the person being empty or being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So this is all the same as what we studied previously in some detail with the Vaibhashika. So everything that has been said now except for the accumulation, where the merit, on in terms of grounds and parts, where the merit is accumulated, that is different from Vaibhashika, although so far the, everything is the same.
ただ、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように、そのように 가진 담에 숨는 소사.
디숭데
아오.
디숭낭노라레베.
그 숭낭노라레베스네. 자유선 봐.
네, 콘소디 로그람 시기 강라 그리 소남 사기 말레베.
님 세우 말바니 년 제라 마나 지바라와. 제라 마베 랑제다 자유선 바니 촐람이네 가서 숨는 소사. 촐람네 야냠브라 샤네 다지미지고 냠잘 마라 다지미지고 두그리스라와. 다 Solom Loblam Chino Sahan Sures and Yandrikiris. Yandrikibu. Yandrikibu Loblam in Solom, Jolam, Tolam, Gomlam Yasunum Sosagores. Raja de Gare, Raja de Gare, Solom, Chung, Jim, Chimbo Yasunum Sa, Tinis Sosane, Tin Jolam Yasun Yambrashane, Yambrashane, Chilia, and Dutchman to Tokuris.
Okay.
Chanjusen Badigi, and then Solom Chung, Jim, Chimbo Yasu.
该些长辈是没有错杀些
Male.
Okay, then you take it. Then one more time, super.
Okay.
Okay. So, I must just correct myself. So, actually, the solitary realizer doesn't accumulate merit across the four training grounds, but as we had presented in the with the Vaibhashika presentation, the solitary realizer only accumulates all their merit on the path of accumulation, and then enters when they enter the path of preparation, then on one seat they progress until they attain their goal, that of being a foe destroyer. So that actually is the same as with the Vaibhashika. Then with the solitary realizer, with the Bodhisattva. So the Bodhisattva, again as presented with the in the Vaibhashika presentation, so there the Bodhisattva accumulates this huge amount of merit, but all just on the path of accumulation. So the merits are three countless great eons, and accumulates merit for that length of time on the path of accumulation. And then that is done with the main object of meditation, being the person being empty or being self-sufficiently substantially existent, but so as to overcome not the, in this case, the afflictive obscurations, but the non-afflictive obscurations. So it's only the Bodhisattva who needs to overcome the non-afflictive obscurations. So then when they have accumulated their merit, they're meditating on the objects of meditation, namely the person being empty or being self-sufficient, substantially existent, and they come to realize that. Then with this accumulation of merit they now have behind them, they will abandon in one session, go from the path of seeing, the path of preparation, right through the path of no more training, in one session, abandoning those non-afflictive obscurations. So the only difference between the Vaibhashika and the Satrantika is whether they accept the Buddha's form aggregate to be the Buddha or not. And so remember from the Vaibhashika, they are saying that the Buddha's form aggregate is not the Buddha, whereas the Satrantika holds that the Buddha's form aggregate is the Buddha. So now, congratulations, we have finished the presentation on Satrantika.
That 当然，咱俺这个牛毛节的雨做，这样子大些马里巴些吃个多。再来，等那对象空中俺就接个多。现在俺这个店里啊，是新旧钱呢。那可话了，宁波民族，宁波民族，咱俺这个东啊，这些南门南宋吧，那些东啊，都喜欢这些的。那月东啊的，东月东啊，等等东啊，用啊吃上都是些呢，来的牛毛包了，等等就，第二节的节雨做的，那的，那些大些马里巴的，等等接个多，加上。 大家马里巴的帮古都是别个，天天，当我都是英雄接的，你大家马里巴放下来，大庙个都什么大什么大什么大，都是讲接什么大讲接，天天说那么说啥，伢的都今天，你吃这个吃这个，那这个今天个这张国爷的吃，那金巴拉说把的苏州么说的，天天都伢们几个进，伢都伢的大庙个什么大都是什么个，你个都这些这个进都些呢，俺就给，俺那你下。 俺就给他那都是些呢，俺就给他操完那些都是工具些，天天工具些呢，他天天就那过，给他工具买，干脆压下去呢，俺那这个压龙着，天天结果的那是的，接土呢，俺那压过来，天天结果那给力，俺就俺第一去个，我第二下三百个三百的，才买的，才把才买的点过了，第二把那他过多少万张。
你那个伢伢那个，你那也第二伢伢这样子的，他把特别高。那，这，那敌人伢子，别他米，当伢子听见吃上，上就跟当伢子米店吃饭进去，再搞个白嘛是也不如些，他也不修脚的话的，你那他他敌人伢子的肩膀都歪了，恁肩膀几根是恁脚啊肩膀高啊嘞，我嘛，就是肩膀骨骨不拉嘛的好骨嘛，就是肩膀什么些的，该来好过来，那敌人的怕都这样子的呢，上当的过来的，也吃不消的，对吧？当伢子吃上几把，伢子吃上几把的，伢子是，恁肩膀的了，那什么才比过来的嘛需要些。
So what we've been looking at today, is, especially in this session now, we've been speaking about this the self-grasping ignorance. So this mind that grasps at the self as existing in a way that it doesn't exist. So it's through this self-grasping that we generate our various afflictive minds, these suffering minds. So it's because of our self-grasping that we give rise to our various afflictions, and therefore we act on these afflictions, and we continue to accumulate contaminated karma, we continue to experience suffering after suffering, and we continue to stay trapped inside this cage of suffering. So this all comes about from the primary cause of this self-grasping ignorance. So now we've heard about this quite extensively, and we've also heard about the antidote to this, so the wisdom realizing selflessness. And we've spoken a lot about how the process of our mental development in terms of developing these virtuous minds, developing these realizations that we all want. So we know how the process works about coming to understand something, then thinking about those various reasons again and again and again, so we can dispel our doubts, move towards correct assumptions, and when we have these correct assumptions, we strengthen them until they get to the point where we have actual realizations. So, of course, now we know what the antidote is to the root of all our suffering. We also know about the other virtuous minds that we need to generate, such as love, compassion, definite emergence, and the like. So we have a lot of knowledge here. And we also know how to use it and how the mental process works. So we know how to develop mental paths. We know how to develop these paths of happiness. So we have all this information. Then accompanying this, we've also had many teachings on the six practices, generosity, ethical conduct, etc. So we know about how to accumulate merit. So we know about our motivation, we know about trying to keep our motivation present during the actions, etc., and dedication. So we know about all these things, we have all this information. Now we've also heard in some detail about the mental process and how that works. So now we have this huge amount of information, and on top of this, we also have this opportunity of a precious human rebirth. So this human rebirth we've learned is very rare, and to achieve it is dependent on so many different causes and conditions coming about. It's actually really quite difficult. We've also learned how this opportunity we have is impermanent, and when this opportunity ends, it's at a very uncertain time. our age is not something that will protect us. Our good health that we may think we have right now, it's not something that will necessarily protect us. Likewise, our wealth and our good conditions is not something that can keep death at bay. So this good opportunity we have now is impermanent, and it will end, and it could end at any moment. So really now that we have this opportunity, we have the wisdom and the knowledge on our side, we now is the opportunity to cultivate that opportunity, that knowledge, and develop these minds within us, to grow these minds so that they can become correct assumptions, and then become inferential valid cognitions, or in other words, realizations. We have this opportunity, we have all the tools. The only thing we don't know is when this opportunity is going to end and what our next life will be like. So now is the opportunity, and now is the time to take full advantage of this opportunity. So this is my heartfelt request to you, that you utilize this information and that you develop these precious minds within yourselves. And I offer this request, I make this request to you, but I also make this request to myself. I too need to develop these minds, so I too will continue to make effort to develop realizations of the Dharma, and I request that you also use this opportunity in the best way that you can. So that's us finished for today. The next time we'll start with a presentation on the mind-only school, on the Chittamatra. So just before ending, some questions. Cameron?
Does Heschel recommend we create our own meditations?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, a meditation state, for instance, derived from the notes?
Mm-hmm. So should we be utilizing our notes here as a basis for our meditation?
Our own meditations.
For creating our
meditation,
yeah.
One thing is to reflect on the notes, mm-hmm. and that's sometimes spoken of as a type of meditation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 Then we the Gyugyin, come catch the Gyugyin. You know, this cancer. You know, Labyin. Okay. Then getting the some say dinner. Now so since season. Then now so now so call samdu. Now so now so sami ki shi. Now so since the rebe. Karenza. Nato gomgyab göre, nato di gosong, yine edini gomgyab yedan samlotan, pelce lokare. Dene nato nimerere nangcho ki kola samdu bena shoki nato yalangdu, dene zinchi di nangcho ki kola samlotan yamene gomgyab ye ki mangshi rebe.
Da mangshi isna pengiruwa, deko zinchi shuebena sosu ki
So there's really great benefits in using your notes as the basis for your meditation, as of your formal meditation. So it's using your notes you've taken here is very similar to when one meditates with the basis of a text. So when one reads a text and thinks about that, the meaning of what's arising in the text. And so likewise, when you read your notes from the classes and you use that as the basis for your meditative practice, great benefit will come from that. Another question? Then thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.